everyone. That was beautiful.
Great job. Absolutely.
Dr. Oaks, to the stand.
Okay. I'm coming. Notice we didn't give a special welcome to the Publitz. And the reason is because they're already part of the family, so we don't need to do that, okay? So they're, welcome anyway. But there's a reason we're not pointing that out specially, because, you know, you're part of us already, and we don't need to do that. All right, yes, I'm thankful for, we had a great turnout yesterday. I think it'd be fair to say that Andres's brother was impressed, maybe beyond impressed. And we're going to be doing this on a monthly basis. And also, we'll have other opportunities. I mean, how many people in need did we actually meet yesterday?
I don't know.
Well, maybe on the streets outside the building. So we are going to have the opportunity to go to some of the actual distribution things. That's going to be more like, we'll let you know about it. And if you can go, you can go, sort of thing. Because we don't want to overwhelm you with too many activities, but for those who want to take it to another level, so there's going to be distributions in Planada. That's fairly convenient for us. Although giving to the poor doesn't necessarily need to be convenient, but also Los Banos and Dos Palos and one other place. So that'll be great. So we're returning to Zechariah, and the theme of Zechariah, the Messiah is coming. Get your house in order. And remember this picture. It'll be emblazoned in your brain of this. You do not want this to be a symbol of your spiritual house. This room, which, like I said, looks so much like my daughter's room. It's, and I need to be specific, not Elizabeth.
No.
It's not Elizabeth. Elizabeth has a very orderly room.
I don't think any of us have met
Kate. All right? And the message is, it's time to repent and return so that God can restore and rebuild. And this is the message of the 6 post-exile books. We've been spending time already in Ezra, then in Haggai and Zechariah. And starting next week, we'll spend a little bit more time in Ezra. And then we'll be doing Esther, Nehemiah, and Malachi in that order. So the outline of Zechariah is the prologue, where basically it's the preaching prologue where he says it's time to repent and return so God can restore and rebuild. Then we looked at 8 visions. We'll review a couple of those. 8 apocalyptic visions, all of which the summary says essentially God is against our enemies and he is with us. And then we saw the coronation scene. And today we'll look at the 2 sermons. And then the end of Zechariah, the longest part, is these 2 oracles concerning Jerusalem. And these are messianic and kingdom prophecies. All right, so we saw the messenger on the red horse. God is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. And God says, I will push the enemies out of Jerusalem and I will rebuild my city. And then last week's sermon, we saw the vision of the measuring line. A city without walls, right? Don't rely on the weapons of the world. Rely on the weapons that God has. And then we saw the coronation scene, awesome, where priest and king become one under one Lord, and that is the Messiah, Jesus, the branch, the Nazir, the Nazarene. Jesus is king and he is priest. He's both. And then we saw about a kingdom of peace, Zechariah 9, Jesus rides in on the colt, the foal of a donkey, right? But he's a conquering king who rides in on a humble donkey because he is a humble king. And we ended with the reminder that you will sparkle. So now we're starting today's sermon, Zechariah 7. It's actually Zechariah 7 and 8 are 2 sort of brief sermons on the same topic. And the topic is fasting, sort of. You'll see. All right, Zechariah 7. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3 to get us started. In the 4th year of King Darius, this is 518 BC. Remember, Haggai, in the first part of Zechariah's 520 BC, the foundation of the temple had been laid, but the Jews forgot to build. So Zechariah says, repent and rebuild. And even Darius says, come on, rebuild the temple. Now it's 2 years later, and they've started rebuilding, and Zechariah is now encouraging them to continue that rebuilding process. All right? The fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, the month of Kislev. The people of Bethel had sent Sharezer and Regemmelech together with their men to entreat the Lord by asking the priests of the house of the Lord Almighty and the prophets, should I mourn and fast in the fifth month as I've done for so many years? Now, if you were to read Zechariah and read this, you'd probably have absolutely no idea what in the world they're talking about. So it's my job to inform you. So during the time that Nebuchadnezzar came and first defeated Jerusalem and then destroyed Jerusalem, at that time the Jews started three different fasts. All right, on the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month, and they were to essentially remember God's judgment on His people, so that they would not get into that situation again. So there was a fast on the fifth month. And that was to remember the destruction of the temple. But the thing is, they're rebuilding it now. Okay? So they're going to ask, should we keep fasting since we're rebuilding the temple? And then in the seventh month, they had another fast to remember the assassination of Gedaliah. Now, you probably have no idea who Gedaliah is. Well, Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, was killed. And so Nebuchadnezzar put this guy, Gedaliah, to be the mayor of Jerusalem, to sort of kind of support his Babylon's control of Jerusalem. So the idiot Jews in Jerusalem, they assassinated Gedaliah, all right? And then they all got kicked out, and they went to Egypt, all this other stuff that we didn't talk about earlier. But either way. And the story is in 2 Kings 25:25, if you care to look that one up. So they had a second fast in the seventh month. And they had a third fast in the tenth month. So we're talking about 3 months out of the year. That's a quarter of the year they're doing some kind of fast. Now, this is not a fast from all eating. I don't even know the exact nature of what they fasted from. All right? So the tenth month was to remember the capture of Jerusalem in 597 BC when Jehoiakim was taken into captivity and part of the wall was broken down. And so, you know, on the face of it, this is a good question. Logically, this is a good question. Since we're now starting to be back in the land and the temple's starting to be built, they're asking God, should we keep fasting? Now, but you have to look at kind of the way they asked. They said, should I mourn and fast in the fifth month as I've been doing for so many years? So do you get the tone behind this? Oh, I'm so tired of fasting. Can I get out of this? All right? They're kind of having an attitude. Should I mourn? Do you detect an attitude there? I do. Do I have to fast? Oh. For these many years, do I have to serve the poor in Merced County? Do I have to? Do I have to go to Bible study on Tuesday night and midweek on Wednesday? Do I have to? Do I have to wear modest dress as a female even when it's 104 degrees? Do I have to? The child says to the parent, do I have to clean my room? And the parent's like, you're such an annoying child. So, you know, in some sense, this was a good question. But really, do I have to? That's always the wrong question, right? Do I have to? That's always the wrong question. Because we have freedom in Christ. And the answer is, well, actually, for most of those, you don't actually have to. Wrong question. Let's continue verse 4 through 7. Then the word of the Lord Almighty. By the way, one thing I want to point out before we read this, we're going to read to the end of this first sermon, and God literally refuses to answer the question. He just won't even answer the question. I don't know about you, but as a parent, often my kids would ask me why, and I just, even though I had an answer, I just refused to give him the answer because of the tone of voice. They asked why. So I think that's what's going on here. Then the word of the Lord Almighty came to me, ask all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh, and by the way, later on in chapter 8, you learned the 10th as well, months for the past 7 years, was it really for me that you fasted? And when you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting for yourselves? Basically, whether you were fasting or not, it was all about you the whole time is basically what he's saying. Are these not the words the Lord proclaimed through the earlier prophets when Jerusalem and its surrounding towns were at rest and prosperous and the Negev and the western foothills were settled? And so he's saying, essentially, was it really for me that you're out there? By the way, it wasn't that hot there. There was a nice fan, you know. You know, and we only did it for 2 hours, you know. It wasn't that big of a deal. Were you fasting for yourself? Are you here to fill some personal need? And by the way, one of the reasons all of us are here is on some level to meet a personal need that we have. I mean, it's not like that in itself is horrible or sinful, but the question is it about God or is it not? That's kind of what he's asking us. Religion can be about self. And it's a relative thing. You know, I don't think anybody here this morning, it's all about you. All right? I don't think so. I sort of doubt it. But to what extent is this true of you? He says, you were fasting these last 70 years in a hypocritical way. So as far as God said, you know, you might as well not have fasted the whole time. Do I have to? All right. So God basically says to us, just give me your heart, not your religion. And, you know, this is not an uncommon biblical theme. All right. We could mention 1 Samuel 16 where it says the Lord doesn't look at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. But instead, let's look at Psalm 51. I think I might have read this at least one other time since we've been here, but it's such a great psalm. I'm going to go back there. Amen. For some of you, it's brand new, right? All right. Psalm 51. Starting in verse 15. By the way, David is a great example. And thank you, Malero, for pointing that out. A great example of a man after God's own heart. And by the way, it's not because he was perfect. OMG. Not even close. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. Now we already know that God did ask them to sacrifice and to make burnt offerings. Just like he asked us to be at all the church meetings I mentioned earlier or to serve the poor or whatever other list of things I mentioned earlier. He says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you'll delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, the burnt offerings whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. And basically, David says, yeah, if you have our hearts, then God says, yeah, please fast. Please fast. That was never a bad thing. All right, let's continue. Zechariah 7, 8 through 10. Zechariah 7, 8 through 10. Are you with me here?
Yep.
All right, hopefully. All right. All right. And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against one another. All right? So God's solution to legalistic religion is essentially says, God says, act like me. All right? That's God's response to the question. Do I have to? And God essentially says, just act like me. Essentially, right? I mean, for all practical purposes, and this is a great memory verse. This is a great memory verse. All right, let's see it. 2 weeks ago, we had a memory verse. Zechariah 4, verse 6, right? Not by might. Uh-oh. Oh. Do I have to memorize verses? No, you don't. All right. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Here's another one. This is a longer one. All right. But it starts, I say Zechariah 9b and 10. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against one another. Basically, God's saying the solution to legalistic, have-to, human-based, selfish religion is to be like God. So are you struggling with the motivation, your motivation to walk with God? Solution, go out and help some needy people. Which a bunch of us did. It felt good. By the way, we don't do it because it makes us feel good, right? But does it make us feel good? Well, yeah, actually it does. All right. Have you ever come to church and at the end you thought, oh man, I sure wish I'd stayed home?
Never.
Yes. But have you ever felt before church like, oh, I don't really want to go?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, got it? That's just kind of how it works. Practice social justice. The fact that we did this thing on Saturday, it wasn't to set up this sermon, all right? It wasn't. It just so happens that's what we did, and that's just the next verse in Zechariah. But it happens to fit pretty well. Go visit an older person. Volunteer to help. You're in campus, volunteer to help at a singles retreat or whatever the thing would be. Make dinner, bring it to your neighbor. Offer on a Tuesday night to cook dinner so Jan doesn't have to. But Jan does not say, do I have to? Just, you know.
She just does it.
That's right. So did God answer their question? Well, I suppose I should finish this chapter, but the answer is going to be no, he doesn't answer the question. All right, so here you go. I've got this. Don't read chapter 8. Just, what do you think? Is God going to say, yes, keep fasting on the 5th and the 7th and 10th month? Or do you think God's going to say, nah, just stop fasting on the 5th, 7th, and 10th month? What's your opinion? What do you think, Ryan? Not sure?
Well, I don't know. He said he doesn't answer.
Yeah, but at the end of chapter 8, see, the first sermon he doesn't. The second sermon, they don't even ask him, and then he answers. At the end of chapter 8, don't read ahead now. At the end of chapter 8, he answers the question. He's going to tell him to keep doing it. Any other opinions here? Yeah. Yeah, but he's going to answer, fine, but he's going to answer, that doesn't answer the question. The question is, should I fast or should I not fast? All right, and yes. Okay, but what if their hearts are in it then? Then, all right. So we're guessing he's going to say keep fasting. Well, we'll find out. That's fun. All right, can you guys wait? Can you wait for the next 10 minutes to find out the answer to the question? All right. And by the way, it's in Zechariah 8, 18 and 19, but don't you dare. Zechariah 7, 11 through 14. But they refuse to pay attention. What he's saying is, remember what happened to the Jews in the past. I didn't tell them to fast, but I told them a bunch of other stuff. But they refused to pay attention stubbornly. They turned their backs and they covered their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law, to the words of the Lord. Almighty had sent his by spirit through the earlier prophets, so the Lord Almighty was very angry. When I called, they did not listen. And look at this. So when they called, I would not listen. That's another possible memory scripture. That's an easy one to remember. Look at that, folks. This verse preaches itself. God says, when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. We don't need a theologian to explain that one, do we? Says the Lord Almighty, I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations where they were strangers. The land left behind them was so desolate that no one traveled through it. This is how they made the pleasant land desolate. And by the way, this is exactly what happened. Archaeological studies show from about 585 BC for the next 70 years, the entire land of Judah was virtually empty. Just, you know, like, what's that movie with the apocalypse and all that and the zombies? Yeah, like The Walking Dead, you know, and, you know, it's kind of like that. Except no Walking Dead, but just a bunch of things grew up. Never mind, bad example. But, all right. So what we do need to do is to repent and not act like our earlier countrymen. And then God says, then if you repent, then you can return. And then chapter 8 of Zechariah, then I'm going to restore and rebuild. So chapter 7 is kind of like repent and return. And then chapter 8 is going to be like, and I'm going to restore and I'm going to rebuild. All right. We say, God's not hearing my prayers. God's saying, well, you're not listening to me, so how do you think that's going to go, you know? How's your life been working for you lately? Have you been listening to God's voice, showing mercy and compassion, helping the foreigner and the poor, reaching out to the lost, encouraging the weak? Good. But if not, as my good friend Mark Wilkinson said many times, how's that working for you? How's that working for you? All right. Zechariah 8, 1 through 9. All right. So now, basically, chapter 7 is repent and return. And chapter 8 is, if you do, I'm going to restore and rebuild. The word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very zealous for Zion. By the way, Zion is the name of the mountain on which Jerusalem is built. All right, but when you hear the word Zion, that means Jerusalem, but it also means the Jews more broadly. But I'm telling you, prophetically, it means for the church or for the kingdom of God. All right, I am, yes.
Jealous
and jealous. Yes.
Oh, really?
Okay. The word zeal is not there. Thank you. And I'm being humble right now. Thank you. Amen. Good. That's good. Amen. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and I will dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city. Then the Merced Christian Church will be called the faithful city. And the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the Holy Mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each of them with a cane in hand because of their age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at this time, who are aware of the devastation and the destruction of Jerusalem and the fact that Judea is still virtually empty. I will bring them back to Jerusalem. Sorry about that. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at that time, but will it seem marvelous to me, declares the Almighty, Lord Almighty? This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem, and they will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now hear these words. Let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. This is also what the prophets said who were present when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. All right, so basically, the Messiah is going to come to Jerusalem. Remember the first lesson, repent and return. Then God is going to restore and rebuild. God says, I cannot wait. God is longing to rebuild his city. Is this prophecy about the restoration of Judah? Of course it is. Is it about his church? Yes. Is it about this church right here this morning? Absolutely. So get the picture of what God wants to do. God says to his people, after you repent and return, you're going to be restored to me, and I'm going to rebuild Zion. In verse 3, he says, I'm going to return to you. He says, we are the city of faith, or the faithful city, the city of truth. And, you know, this prophecy was partially fulfilled in 516 B.C. when the temple was completed. But to a more complete extent, it was fulfilled in 30 A.D. when Jesus died and was raised. And remember, he said, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. So we are this city of truth. We are the faithful city. We are the kingdom of God. And he tries to create a picture, men and women of ripe old age, each with a cane in his hand. And this is the idea of security. Remember the city without walls? Remember the measuring the city? All right. And again, he's talking about Jerusalem. And by the way, this is what happened to Jerusalem. All right. And then we'll read about Nehemiah when the wall got built. That's another story. So basically then in verse 9, he says this. Folks, let's go out up into the mountains, like Haggai said. Let's bring down wood and let's build the temple. Let's start a new Bible talk in Turlock. Let's divide up and have a second Bible group in the Pope Leet's house in the fall. But they're not living there yet exactly, so. All right, let's have a singles ministry, not just a campus ministry. And let's have teenagers?
Woo!
Are there some teenagers that need to be saved in this town?
Oh, yes.
And maybe some old people. Just maybe. All right. And within 2 years, not from this church, but from our sister churches in the valley, let's plant a church in Stockton. Amen. Let's finish out this chapter. Before that time, there were no wages for people or hire for animals. No one could go about their business safely because of the enemies, since they had turned everyone against their neighbor. That's what happened because of the rebellion, right? But now, I will not deal with the remnant of this people that I did in the past, declares the Lord Almighty. Oops. Oh, rats. Oh. Did you see that? Don't say what you saw. Don't say what you saw. Don't look at that. Verse 12. The seed will grow well. The vine will yield its fruit. The ground will produce its crops. It's been happening, folks. We've planted a few seeds and we've already yielded a few crops. And by the way, we have about 14 zucchinis over there, so please take one home.
Oh yeah. I'll eat one right now.
Okay. And the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. Just as you, Judah and Israel, have been a curse among the nations, so I will save you, and you will be a blessing. Do not be afraid, but let your hands be strong. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Just as I have determined to bring disaster on you, and showed no pity when your ancestors angered me, says the Lord Almighty, so now I have determined to do good again to Jerusalem and Judah. Do not be afraid. These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against each other. It do not love to swear falsely. I hate all this, declares the Lord. All right? So basically God says, hey, if you repent and return, I'm going to do this. The seed will grow well. The vine will yield its fruit. And again, we've seen that happen, and that's pretty exciting, and there's no reason it won't continue. He says, but here's what you need to do, all right? Speak the truth in love to one another. You know, let's get some discipling going on here. All right, be in each other's lives. Act justly to each other. Stuff's going to happen. People are going to say the wrong thing. They're going to, you know, get upset. And so we just need to work it out. Amen? All right. Now, let's see the answer. Ta-da. You guys are both wrong. What? Sorry. The word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and... Oh, there are four fasts. I thought there were only three. All right. The fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th month will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come. Got it? Yeah. And they're being delivered into our hands, folks. All right, we're going to be back up on campus Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. It's crazy. You guys are going to be, by the way, not everybody has to go every day. Some of you can't go any of those days, and it's okay. And we're going to be tired. Yes, maybe. We're going to be tired. Maybe. And then you're going to hike this mountain on Saturday.
What? All right.
Anyway, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and inhabitants of many cities will yet come, and the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once to UC Merced and Merced College to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going. Can I come to church with you? Can I just show up, even though I don't know anybody in this room, can I just... show up at your church because somebody I know from San Francisco told me about this church?
Right.
Sure. How hard did we work to bring him here this morning? We did nothing.
Let's go.
We got a phone call. I spent 30 seconds. Deet, deet, deet. That was all.
All right.
And many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, get the picture, folks. 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of the robe and say, let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you.
Wow.
All right, so we've shared on campus. About 6 or 7 of us have gone sharing on campus. And we got 70 phone numbers of people that want to come. So do the math. Do the math. All right. Let me see. Flo was on campus. Malera was on campus. 6 or 7, whatever it was. I don't know. And we had 70 people say they want to come.
Wow.
All right. Now let's look at this prophecy. It says in those days, 10 people from all languages and nations. If you look at the list of people that signed up from all languages and nations, will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we've heard that God is with you. You know what? If we repent and return, chapter 7, and then chapter 8, God is going to restore and rebuild. That's pretty cool. That's encouraging. All right. Bonus material. Oh, good. Okay. By the way, we haven't gotten to the verse that says on that day, because the title of our sermon this morning is on that day. So let's go to Zechariah 10. And skipping Zechariah 11, that's a painful thing for me, folks. That is really painful. To skip Zechariah chapter 11? Oh, man. We're going to Zechariah 12, verse 10 through 14. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child. I don't know. This is Zechariah writing in 518 BC. Does Zechariah know what he's talking about? He has no idea what he's talking about. Do we know what he's talking about? We sure do. By the way, in case you're wondering, we were doing a study. Who were we doing this study with? Gabe. Was it Gabe? And we were talking about, hey, do you believe the Bible is inspired? He said, yeah. And we asked him, well, why do you believe that? Because it's inspired. All right. And yeah. We said, well, but here you go. Here's a reason. I mean, is there any other book? You know, try this. Go to the library and say, can you send me to the section in the library here that has prophecies, history of the future? Do you have any of that? All right, that's actually going to happen exactly the way they said. And they'll get like, you're crazy. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, the one and only son, right? And grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be as great as the weeping of Hadad Rimmon, in the plains of Megiddo. What's that about? I'll tell you. The land will mourn, each clan by itself, with their wives by themselves, the clan of the house of David and their wives, the clan of the house of Nathan and their wives, the clan of the house of Levi and their wives, and the clan of Shimei and their wives, and all the rest of the clans and their wives. A prophecy about the Messiah. And about the church. God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. A vision of Acts chapter 2 and Joel 2, 28 through 31, where God says, on that day, in the last days, I will pour my spirit out on Jerusalem, and your young men and young women will prophesy and see dreams. And by the way, this piercing is not specifically about the crucifixion. It's about the javelin that was pierced through Jesus' side up into his ribcage and even pierced his heart. What's this? Notice verse 10. It says, God, let me read verse 10. Look at this carefully. He says, they will look on me, the one they have pierced. Who's speaking here? No, God is speaking. Jesus is God. And by the way, people say, oh, the New Testament made up this whole idea that Jesus is God. Or not the New Testament, the early church. Well, it's right here. And by the way, in Zechariah 11 also, God says, me, the one that they have betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, Jesus is God. That's a little side note, but I thought I'd make that little side note since it's right there for me to make. All right? Hadad Rimmon. This is where Josiah, the most righteous of all the Jewish kings. Now, you might have thought David was the most righteous of all the Jewish kings, but he was not. You might have thought Hezekiah was the most faithful of all the Jewish kings. But if you read 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, no, it was Josiah. And when Josiah died, the people mourned. And this is, so, just so you know, so, in the people that Zechariah is talking to, when he talks about Hadad Rimmon, they immediately know. It's like 9/11 or something like that. They would totally know what he's talking about. This is where Josiah, the most righteous of all the kings of Judah, and the last good king, was killed in a battle in the year 609 BC, which was within reasonable time of when this prophecy happened. And it's where great mourning broke out through the land, 2 Kings 23, 29 and 30, etc. Jeremiah composed a lament specifically for this event. So the bottom line is, when Jesus dies and his apostles abandon him, it's going to be a time of great mourning. But it doesn't end there, does it? So let's go to Zechariah chapter 13. And I want to do Zechariah 14, but I just can't. Oh, it's so painful to me. On that day, Zechariah 13, verse 1, a fountain will be opened to the house of David. So if you end in Zechariah 12, verse 14, it's like, Ah. But then you got Zechariah 13. Oh, okay. All right. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. On that day, I will banish the names of the idols from the land. They will be remembered no more, declares the Lord Almighty. I'll remove both the prophets and the spirit of impurity from the land. And if anyone still prophesies, their father and mother to whom they were born will say to them, you must die because you've told lies in the Lord's name. All right, so better not claim you're a prophet like certain churches do, but never mind, let's not get into that. All right, then their own parents will stab the one who prophesies. In that day, every prophet will be ashamed of their prophetic vision. They will not put on a prophet's garment of hair in order to deceive. Each will say, I'm not a prophet, I'm a farmer. The land has been my livelihood since my youth. If someone asks, what are these wounds on your body? They will answer, the wounds I was given at the house of my friends. After awake, sword against my shepherd, against the man who's close to me, declares the Lord Almighty, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered, etc. All right, so basically then, on that day, that fateful day, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, a fountain will be opened. The waters of baptism are awaiting. We can be fully cleansed. What was that day for you? What was that day for you? On that day, a cleansing will be offered. On that day, a fountain will be opened. And God's work will be brought to completion on that day. What day? Well, you know, in Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about that day, right? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. It says, but in those last days, he has spoken to us by his son. See, we don't need prophets anymore. We have Jesus. Amen. All right? Jesus is the last word from God. The Bible will be completed. Now, yeah, Zechariah 14. Oh, if I stop here, will I ever get to do Zechariah 14?
One day.
On that day. All right, I'm just going to read Zechariah 14. I'm just going to read it, okay? Whose baptism was that? Is that?
Kevin's.
That's Kevin's, all right. Look at that. On that day, a fountain will be opened. Who's next? Is that person here with us this morning? I don't know. Look around. Haven't been baptized yet. I don't know if you're in that category. We got our eyes set on you in a good way. In a good way. All right. On that day, chapter 14, verse 1, a day of the Lord is coming, Jerusalem, when your possessions will be plundered, divided up within your very walls. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured. The houses ransacked. The women raped. By the way, this is Matthew 24. This is Luke 21. It's the same thing. Just read them. It's just the Old Testament version, about 600 years beforehand. Pretty awesome. The Bible's amazing. All right? Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights on the day of battle. Verse 4, on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half the mountain moving north and half moving south. This is apocalyptic stuff, folks. You will flee by my mountain valley. And by the way, this is 70 A.D., and Jesus said, when you see the armies surrounding Jerusalem, flee that city. And they did. Eusebius tells us they fled to the city of Pella. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and the holy ones with him. On that day, there will be neither sunlight nor cold, frosty darkness. It will be a unique day, a day known only to the Lord, with no distinction between day and night. When evening comes, there will be light on that day. Living water will flow out from Jerusalem. This is Ezekiel 47. This is Revelation 22, etc. On that day, living water will flow from Jerusalem, half of it to the Dead Sea, half of it to the west in the Mediterranean Sea in summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name the only name. The whole land from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, will become like the Arabah, a beautiful, fertile, green plain. But Jerusalem will be raised up high from the Benjamin Gate to the site of the first gate, to the corner gate, and from the Tower of Hananel to the royal wine presses will remain in its place. It will be inhabited. Never again will it be destroyed. Jerusalem will be secure. But for the bad guys, this is the plague which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they're still standing on their feet. Sounds like the Temple of Doom there, you know. The new movie's coming out, I guess. On that day, people will be stricken by the Lord with great panic. They will seize each other by the hand, attack one another. Judah, too, will fight at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the surrounding nations will be collected. Great quantities of gold and silver and clothing. A similar plague will strike the horses and the mules, the camels, the donkeys, and all the animals in those camps. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the festival of tabernacles, God dwelling with his people, an eternal festival of tabernacles. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. If the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they'll have no rain. And if the people of Merced won't come, that's on them. The Lord will bring on them the plague he inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles. There will be the punishment of Egypt, the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles. On that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses and on the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty, and all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. And on that day, there will no longer be a merchant in the house of the Lord Almighty. So, to summarize, should I mourn and fast? Actually, what you should do is celebrate, because God is restoring and rebuilding. And because on that day, a fountain will be open to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. But when God calls, we need to listen. We need to let our hands be strong, and we need to start, as it said in Zechariah, start building. On that day, we will have an eternal Feast of Tabernacles, God dwelling with his people. So let us repent and return so God can restore and rebuild. Very good. Thanks. All right. Thanks for putting up with a few extra minutes there. Because we finished Zechariah.